Our next guest on the program is an Academy Award nominee, the author of three books, including The Year of Learning Dangerously, Pet Sounds, and Notes from the Underwire. We're pleased to be joined this afternoon by Quinn Cummings. Quinn, thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Going to cut right to the chase. You might well be our hero here on the show. we do a segment every day called Tweets of the Day, and I don't know that we've ever gone more than 2 days in a row without having one of your tweets. You are amazing out there.
Well, thank you. I will say this. At one point, my partner, who I refer to as consort in public life, said to me, because we were talking about how disgusting social media was and how toxic and corrosive it is, and I was agreeing with him, yes, it is. And he looked at me oddly and said, but you seem to like it. And I thought about it, and I said, you know those bacteria that evolved to thrive in a septic tank? Yeah, that's me.
Well, you do seem to like it, and people, well, as we know, people are not on their best behavior out there in social media, but you deal with them, you put them in their place as well as anybody out there. But how do you avoid just tuning the whole thing out and moving on with your life?
Well, a couple of things. I decided, gosh, just about 3.5 years ago now, believe it or not, I was raised right. I don't know where it went, but I was raised right. And, you know, there is something in my head about no conversation about, you know, race, politics, or sex, or religion. And, you know, when the 2016 political machine started to churn up, and he sailed down the escalator and into our hearts, or someplace further south, I said, oh, God, I would love to write jokes about him, but I fear I'm going to put people off of me and I'm not going to sell any more books. And my sweetheart looked at me and said, honey, you're a writer. Nobody's buying books anyway. You might as well entertain yourself.
Well, one of the things I like about Twitter is that you do get to self-select a little bit. And even though there are millions of people out there, I think of the people whose work I especially appreciate, like yourself, as sort of this secret club that I'm eavesdropping on. But I'm curious, who are the people that you enjoy following that maybe we need to know about if we're not already on board?
Well, let's see. This is kind of a hard name to say and see. Oh, no, she twittened. You know, like, oh, no, she didn't, but Twitter is a woman. As far as I know, it's a woman. I think she works somewhere in the Southeast. She is the best at, I view this as a game. She is the best at the game. Golden Gate Blonde is terrific. Molly Jong Fast.
Oh, yes.
Is wonderful. Oh, Rick Wilson. Rick Wilson takes no prisoners.
Love Rick Wilson. Charlie Pierce.
I stand by my assertion that Charlie Pierce is our Mark Twain, and we're lucky to have him.
That's a great group right there to get started with. Now, I also saw that you worked with another friend of our show, Amy Dickinson, recently in sharing a little advice.
She is a doll. She is officially a doll person. I like her very much.
Well, you had wonderful advice for parents of a young woman who wanted to pursue a career in the arts, specifically on Broadway. Can you pass along a little of that to anybody who might be listening and thinking that their child has got some talent that they would like to take to the next level as you did?
Well, what the family was asking, and it was a wonderful and thoughtful question, is the thing that makes their child so good at this, so compelling to watch, such a wonderful person, is that she is a sensitive soul. And this kind of a life is hell on a sensitive soul. And what they were saying was, how can we love her, support her, encourage her, but also teach her to keep some part of herself okay? And Amy had wonderful practical advice about, you get another job, you don't put your life well-being on acting. And I said, yeah. And the only other thing I added was, start writing your own material. You know, there is, in my family, we believe that a bad experience is just a good anecdote waiting to be born. So if you are going through the slings and arrows of the performer's world, but you know that you're going to create Instagram videos of these characters you're working on, you can say, okay, well, this agent who's being completely hateful to me is someone that I can turn into a character. And I pointed out to, you know, the people reading it that Lin-Manuel Miranda and Rachel Bloom created for themselves the material they wanted to do. That may be how it has to be done now.
We're talking with Quinn Cummings here on Downtown. On your blog, you say that writing may be your only skill. Well, we know that's not the case. But when did you start, and when did you discover that you had a gift for this?
Thank you. I'm always loath to say that I like doing it very much, and I think you get better at the things you like doing. But I was the only child of older parents. I had a first career where I was frequently the only child on a set where everybody else was 15, 20 or more years older than I was. In a lot of ways, I was always in the position of observing people. And I think if you have that kind of temperament, and I'm very introverted, I'm not shy, I just don't need a lot of company. So I spend a lot of time in my own head. So I think that may be where it began. I remember I was a fairly indifferent student, and the only thing I ever enjoyed writing in high school was we had to write a journal for the prep school I went to sent us away to stay in Yosemite for a week, which was ludicrous because we were soft, rich Los Angeles children, the offspring of producers and well-paid actors. We were not designed to be in nature. And the week just went worse and worse and worse. It began with one of us chopping off the tip of his finger, and it went downhill from there.
Wow.
And when we had to write the journal, everybody else's journals were anodyne. They got it done. And my feeling was, oh, this was a terrible idea, and I'm going to talk about it. And I look back and I realize I was making fun of myself, I was making fun of others, and I was pointing out the inherent absurdity of what was a fundamentally bad idea rooted in good intentions. Turns out nothing much has changed. That's mostly what I like doing, is saying, is anyone else noticing this is absurd?
Well, a few people are, thankfully, and a few more every day. I wanted to ask you, in terms of your acting career, if something happens to come on television, movie, a television show that you were in, do you look at that and realize that as a part of your youth, or is it in some ways like another person when you see that?
I will tell you an odd fun fact about me. I have never seen The Goodbye Girl from beginning to end. I went to both premieres, but because I was 10 years old, the people around me understandably thought, let's get her out of the theater before she gets wiggly, because we've got the party afterwards. And it was good because I would have been bored. I had seen a lot of this being shot, and movies shoot at a fairly glacial pace, so it wasn't like any of this was new to me. If I suddenly found myself on television, I'm not sure that I would even slow down in changing to the next channel. I have figured out about myself that I am freakishly lacking in sentiment. And I think that I lack nostalgia. So it's not even like I feel as if it is or is not me. I think my question to you would be, what gain do I get from looking at this? And you would say something, well, it was you when you were a kid. And then I would stare blankly at you.
Can you talk a little bit about Edendale?
Oh, thank you for asking me about that. I started writing a short, I want very much to write a comedy of manners, a satire about the neighborhood in which I live in Los Angeles, which is called Silver Lake. Silver Lake has always been bohemian. It was three of the first studios were built out here. My grocery store was the first Disney Studios. It's always been bohemian. It was one of its nicknames was Red Hill in the 1940s because it was just all communists. And then it was all communists and homosexuals. And now it's communists, homosexuals, and people who have series deals. But it's very... it's a very unique place within a weird city. And I'm still, thank you for noticing that. I'm still trying to figure out, I started writing it, and then I thought, oh God, I don't know where I'm going with this. I can go any one of a number of ways, but I'm happy with what I wrote so far. I might as well put it up and let people see what I did. And then I'll see what it comes to later on. You know, now that you're reminding me, maybe I'll figure out a way to put it up on Twitter. It'll be completely unlike anything else I do, but that's what I do.
You can
switching it up.
You can find it on Quinn's website, quinncummings.com. Very few things that I enjoy as much on Twitter, and I have to go back every time one of them is in the news and revisit your nickname's cheat sheet.
Yes. It began with my... I refuse to refer to a certain individual by his name because attention is all he really wants, and he wants respect, love, and dignity, so I gave him a nickname, which originally was Giant Toddler. And then at some point, because he really, every behavior was that of a toddler in desperate need of a nap. You know, people have said, well, that's not fair to toddlers. I'm saying he's not all toddlers. He's that toddler when you're standing in Target and it's the end of the day and you need to pick up two things and you're hangry and there is a child in front of you covered in rivulets of snot screaming for beef jerky. I'm saying he's that child.
I do enjoy the second name for him, the Manchurian Pumpkin, but I think my favorite...
Manchurian Pumpkin. Yep.
I think your nickname for Steve King, or the idiot from Iowa, is my favorite.
The Great White Joke?
Yes.
I jokingly say that I do not create these, that this is the muse of nicknames, that I put out a little basket of pretzels for her and hope she comes to me. But really, I never sit down and say, all right, it's time to create a nickname. Because when I do, when I have, I've ended up changing them. They haven't been great. I have to have some degree of patience and just know it will show up. Like, oh God, Paul Ryan. Paul Ryan was forever. And I kept thinking, come on, just give me the nickname. Give me the nickname. And then one day I was looking at him and it popped into my head, Atlas, because he's so fond of Ayn Rand. And it, whatever he's doing, it's Atlas past tense of a verb, you know, Atlas quavered, Atlas, you know, and it's just worked very well. But it was 2 or 3 months there where I'm thinking, oh, come on. I can't keep writing around the fact that I don't have a nickname for him, but things take as long as they do.
And I love Carter Page only because I'm a sucker for a wonderfully obscure but awesome reference.
He reminded me of a cult leader who was part of a suicide pact in the 1990s.
Yeah.
And he has that shiny shoe button gleam to his eye that I associate with cult leader. And also what charms me about him is I don't think he's aware that he's in love with Chris Hayes. I think he would pass the lie detector test. It may not even be that he's having pants feelings about Chris Hayes. It just seems to be a girlish crush. It's really odd.
All right, Quinn, before we let you go, none of us know the answer, but you're the court jester, so I must ask you, how does this crazy story end?
I will tell you this. For a long time, I have sworn that when we are out from under this, I am getting the first tattoo of my life. And what I'm getting is, if you go online, you will find Robert Mueller's signature on the line where it says Robert Mueller III, it's the stuff we've been seeing on all the paperwork. I have sworn I was going to get his signature and his name underneath tattooed on my person.
I think that's fantastic.
I think we're heading towards that. I don't know what the ride does between here and there, and my nickname in my family is Eeyore. I would have told you even a few weeks ago this all ends in ashes and tears. It might, but I think we're going to have a couple laughs along the way.
There's no question about that. You have to. Quinn, it's a real delight for us to talk with you again. We love following you on Twitter. Enjoy your books as well, and keep up the good fight. We all appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. You have a wonderful evening.
Thank you. You as well.